It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 9:05, final hour of the program. Built Ford Tough Studio. It is the Boomer and Geo show. Yes,
you know, we're talking about the Knicks, the Rangers, the way that they played the last couple games. You know, the Islanders played two less games, are right on the Rangers' ass, and the team that is in that final wild card in the NHL is the Montreal Canadiens, being run by none other than former GM of the Rangers, Jeff Gordon. That just kind of, I'm sure, is chapping a few people's asses out there.
Coming back. You just mentioned him, too, when you're talking to
Sue. I was saying, you know, the Islanders traded Brock Nelson. I mean, and that was a huge trade for them. And, you know, they're right there. And they've played two less games. And, you know, that would be something if they made it.
It's a long season, Boomer. A lot of games to play.
Oh, there is, man.
You ever wonder, I talk to a lot of my friends about this. I shouldn't say that. Sometimes. We are so hung up on championships, and I understand that's why you play. You play to win, and the guys that play to make money and to win. Fans just want to see their teams win. It is almost, I like the Mets have great expectations this year, and I actually feel like Met fans going into this season, it's almost like, let's just get to October, and you're not even going to enjoy the journey of the season. Like, I think you, if you're a St. John's fan, you've enjoyed it, but if St. John's wound up losing tonight or Saturday, I think St. John's fans would say the season was a failure.
Yes.
And forget about all the great things that were accomplished this year.
Unfortunately, yes. And that's kind of where we are with the Knicks, too. I mean, there were serious expectations for them. And, you know, with all the moves that Leon Rose made in the offseason, and he pulled the trigger on the Karl Anthony Towns trade, he made the trade for Mikal Bridges. Look, I'm just telling you that there were expectations that maybe they could actually get closer to Boston. Nobody expected Cleveland to be where they are. And I don't think that they've gotten closer to Boston. I think they've moved away from Boston.
I would agree with that. And Cleveland's pulled away.
And which is really disappointing. Now, most Knicks fans like, Boomer's doing his normal negative thing. But the fact of the matter is they are a Tier 2 team. So those expectations, you know, are going to be with the team when the team finally gets to the playoffs. But it is, for Met fans, exactly what it was for Knicks fans and what it always is for Yankee fans.
Well, last year for the Mets feels like last year for the Knicks in terms of the run. And I know the Knicks run ended prematurely with all the injuries. But I do think different seasons do lend different expectations. Last year, I think Knicks fans were, I don't know if satisfied is the right word, but you felt like you were building towards something and that this year would be another step and hopefully they would get to the NBA Finals, if not win it. For the Mets, I mean, hell, that season was dead and buried last year in June, and here they came, and whatever. I remember sitting here talking with you guys in October when they were doing what they were doing. Not that it's gravy. When you get there, you want to win, but they took steps. But now this year, it's about winning.
You sign a guy up for $750 million, and you put him in a lineup, and you bring back your first baseman, and you pay him $30 million this year, and Francisco Lindor comes off of his best season as a Met. I mean, yeah, the expectations are through the roof, and rightfully so, and those players have got to know it. I mean, like, I know that they're human beings, and I know that the players that play for all these teams are human beings, but at the end of the day, you're looking at the amount of money that you're spending to go watch these teams. And what you want is you want an effort that is reflective of the amount of money that they're asking you to pay to support the team.
Right.
And that's why it gets louder and louder and louder every year, the criticism, if somebody doesn't live up to their contract. On top of that, the ease at which anybody can bet on these games.
Well, that's another element, right?
Back in the day, it used to be the guys had to go meet their good time Charlies in the back corners. They don't have to do that anymore.
Now they're betting from the palm of their hand and live betting.
And they also have social media, and they also have video, and they also have audio. I mean, like, it never ends, and it gets worse and worse and worse, and gets tougher and tougher and tougher. And that's why, you know, if the athletes stay away from the social media, they'll tend to have a much better, more, I think, fulfilling career.
All right, so it's funny you bring that up, because I had this down. I wasn't sure if I was going to get to it or not. But since you just mentioned the athletes and social media, so Ron Washington's not running the Angels. Okay, and everybody remembers Ron Washington with the Texas Rangers. They went to the World Series. They didn't win it, but he was a good manager. Wound up with the Braves, had a little bit of an issue with his wife. Now he's the manager of the Angels. So I don't know if you saw this or not. Maybe you did a sports minute on it. I'm not sure. So he put out a rule, no cell phones in the clubhouse. And what wound up happening was the guy said, fine, we'll take the cell phone out of the clubhouse, but be on it right outside the door of the clubhouse, to where he's now trying to ban phones from the building, which you're not going to do. And my point is, being around 18 to 23-year-old athletes as much as I am now, the addiction to the phone is beyond nuts.
And it's not just them. We're all addicted to
everybody.
Our
phones. No, everybody.
We all are. It's not just them.
But what I'm trying to say, yes, every single one of us, what I'm trying to say is even when they are, when they just get off the court, just get off the field, they are on that phone so incredibly fast that what you're saying, I don't think is reality or possible. I don't think whether it's a baseball player, a basketball player, a football player, I don't think they can get away from the phone.
Yeah, I don't
as much
know,
as you'd like them to.
You know, I think every coach handles it a little bit differently. If you remember the great Jim Tom Sula,
he
was giving 5-minute breaks so guys could leave meetings and go
and
to their phones.
And he was ahead of his time, Boomer.
Yeah, but it didn't work.
No, it didn't work at all because everything was absurd at the time.
And I think there's a, you know, there's this whole push, obviously, in public schools to get phones out of the classrooms. And I am 100% a part of that. I don't know why we have to spend $13 million on it, but that's a whole nother story. But I understand what Ron Washington's trying to do. He's trying to get guys to focus in on what their job at hand is. And you'd like to think that most guys do that, but obviously, you know, it's a sign of the times. It's a part of society. It's a cultural thing for all of us. This the one thing that brings us all together is this stupid phone.
True. Good, bad, and everything in between.
But it brings us all together. You know, whether you are left, whether you are right, whether you're in the middle, guess what? We all have our phone, and we all have our ability to put our points of view out there on any given subject. And when it comes to athletes, they're still young. Whether it be female athletes, male athletes, it doesn't matter. They're young, they're involved, they're all about clicks and all about getting on social media. Look at how much money a lot of these college athletes have made just because of their social media presence.
No question about it. We started seeing that a few years ago in terms of their influencing ability and then the amount of followers and subscribers they have. Yeah.
I was thinking that if it were around where I would, when I was playing, I'd be on it. I'd definitely be on it. I'd definitely be doing it. I'd definitely be using it the way the Kelseys, the Mannings. You know, most of these guys are using it when they're, you know, off the field, especially later in their careers. But I think Jason Kelce has made it more mainstream with these podcasts now. And, you know, listen, we have Chad and Ocho Cinco and Shannon. We go back to them, but they're both retired, but they're funny. They're hilarious.
They do very well. That's a different dynamic. That's YouTube. I mean, now you're talking about, and this is the different arms of it that it has. I was talking about the social media, the Twitters and the Instagrams and the TikToks. Now you enter into, you've got guys, yeah, all right, the Kelseys, either one's retired, one's towards the end. Fair enough. You got guys like Micah Parsons that really ticks off Cowboy fans because he's out there on Monday doing a YouTube show after they lose a game on Sunday.
Well, it's like, you know, Aaron Rodgers going on McAfee.
Same thing. That's, yeah. And for an hour and a half, yes.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but it's a part of today's society, and the cat is out of the bag and it is running, man. And it keeps expanding. And I don't know how Ron Washington's going to be able to do that. I mean, I don't necessarily know how more. I wonder what like Carlos Mendoza does, Aaron Boone does. I wonder. I've never really heard much about the policies regarding phones. This could be a good question for the John Haymans, well, and the Joel Shermans of the world.
Do you know guys have them? I mean, think about the Steelers locker room with Antonio Brown.
Well, that was crossing the line.
Crossing the line, sure, 100%. But if you look around, I mean, he's sitting there with his phone in the locker room when the coach is actually giving a speech, and I'm not saying that's right. It's clearly.
You know what? That was crossing the line. I'm sorry. And he knew it.
I'm not arguing.
He had apologized.
Absolutely. My point is there's no doubt that these guys have their phones in their lockers. The idea that he's going to keep them out of the clubhouse is not happening. There's no way it's going to happen. These guys would rather have their phone than deal with him.
I don't know. You know, teachers are dealing with it. Coaches are dealing with it. That's why I think when you're outside, like I'm thinking about like your son's getting ready for his baseball season.
Yeah, first scrimmage yesterday.
Right,
yes.
So they're not bringing their phones out on the field with them.
Not on the field, no, but do they have them in their bags? Yes.
I'm sure they have them because they don't want anybody ripping them off, you know, out of their lockers or whatever. I don't know what their situation is. We used to get lockers.
Sure.
And we would put all our private, you know, belongings in a locker and lock it up and then go out on the practice field. But, you know, that's the thing. Like, professional baseball players, professional athletes in general, that's their job. They go to work every single day, and that's their job. So that phone's going to be with them all the time.
Exactly.
It's not like a high school baseball player who practices out on the field for 3 hours. because they're not going to have their phone with them. They'll have their phone after the fact. But a baseball or a professional athlete or even a college athlete is going to have it with them 24-7 because that, essentially that's their job.
You mentioned cultural and society, all right?
Yes.
So I was going to blow this off, but since you just, it's a really good segue before we get to CeeLo, I'm going to give you just a handful of headlines.
Okay.
Just a handful. All right. And there's doom, gloom, and boom. So okay. We boom scroll, all right? You're going to tell me if this is true or false. And I will tell you, the ones that are true came from the New York Post today. All right.
Okay.
All right. So this is where they came from. First one, and I will tell you the first one's not Al. All right. Traveler drowns her dog in airport bathroom so she could make her flight after failing to have the proper paperwork to take the dog on the plane. True or false?
100% true.
Sadly, that is true. Can you? That's true. I mean, I know you even seem shocked. That is true. All right. Next one.
That girl should be drowned.
Fair enough. I'm sure,
oh, she didn't
especially
make her
dog
flight.
Lovers, I would agree.
Well,
she got arrested.
They got arrested.
So she didn't make her flight. All right, Walgreens.
How about 50 lashes? That would be good.
Walgreens employee stabs alleged shoplifter in the eye. True or false?
That's true.
That is true. You know where that happened? Where do they go light on shoplifting?
San Francisco.
Bingo. It was in San Francisco. That is true. True or false? Squatters took over a home and then sold it for $200,000 without the owners knowing. True or false?
Squatting is a problem, and not the type of squatting that Al would be thinking about, but this squatting is a problem. I would say true.
Man, you are 3 for 3. That is true.
How is that true if they don't have the paperwork?
I have, Al, I think
paperwork. Right. They pay, the whole thing is false, fake, fraud.
And isn't
if they're doing it, well, I remember.
And if I remember from reading, we've talked about this before. I think once you create the paperwork and you submit it to the utility companies and they start billing you, it's almost as if legally you're recognized as the owner when you're not. This happened in Phoenix, Arizona. All right, just a couple more real quick. High school teacher reportedly identifies as a cat. Licks her hands, hisses at students. True or false?
No, that's false.
That is true. Brisbane, Australia. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about crazy.
She's a cat. Does she have a litter box? Does she go into the litter box?
You be surprised? I wouldn't be surprised. The DNC's favorite TikToker is accused of lying to women to get them to send nudes. True or false?
I saw that one. That's true.
That is true. 23-year-old Harry Sisson.
Yes.
11 women. So if it was one woman, I wouldn't have put this on there.
Is he gay?
Well, they said he was one of the very first people outed as being straight.
Oh, he's not gay.
But thought of to be gay?
I don't even know.
All right.
That was actually, all right, last one for you. Finland, again, ranked world's happiest country while the U.S. falls to its lowest ever position. True or false?
Well, again, I am really happy. I am pumped. I'm optimistic. So I don't know why we would be falling. I guess just the miserable victimology of this country is probably taking us down a little bit. Finland. I would say yes.
The whole thing's true. Matter of fact, we rank all the way down to number 24. And the eye-opening line in this story, which I caught my eye, says, quote, despite having a war with Hamas, Israel came in 8th. 16 spots ahead of us.
Wow.
Think about that.
You know what it is? They basically interviewed New Yorkers who hate congestion pricing. That's what it is.
I don't know
who they polled.
I'm not sure who they did, but all of them true. You know, I wanted to do this on Tuesday. I couldn't really find anything good today. They were just pouring off the page. Like, that's good. And I actually left a couple out. So anyway, all right.
So I got one wrong.
You got one wrong, and you did 5 for 6.
That was the pussycat in Australia.
Correct. In Brisbane, as they say. We'll come right back. We've got CeeLo joining us.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, good to have you with us. 9:26. It is the Boomer and Geo program. Geo off until Monday as we come to you live in the Built Ford Tough studio. Chris Lopresti. So just to get it out there, our bid to raise money for BEF and the bike tour is going to go to play golf with me and you is coming later today. You're going to do that.
The auction, yes.
Yes.
To join us. So it'll be you and I and then two others. So we'll have a foursome.
Love it.
On the golf course.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I hope so, because the hotel room would be
weird. Where are you guys playing?
Well, I think the idea is whoever wins the bid,
yes,
will then, you know, we'll come to an agreement.
But you want to play, you're going to end up playing in Jersey.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I think Jersey, but I'm not going to set an exact, like, for example, if someone.
Jerry belongs to a golf club.
I know he does, but if somebody from up north, you know, Jerry and I might be willing to, like, meet them in the middle or something.
We want to make it work for everybody.
Geographically. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because if we say it's going to be in South Jersey, someone from North Jersey might not want to do that. So we'll figure something out.
Exactly. Oh, maybe people want to come down to Jersey Shore.
They might.
Well, not everyone gets to come down and play due process like you do, you know?
That's true.
You come to my neck of the woods and...
And should I tell them now, lunch at Al's Place is included? I'm just kidding. I'm just joking, I promise.
Come meet Whimsy. take Whimsy for a walk on the beach.
Photos with Whimsy.
How about a thing where you get Whimsy? You auction that off.
You're terrible. You're funny, but terrible.
Oh, love that dog so much.
Oh, Whimsy girl, yeah. Who's better?
Whimsy girl.
Not what you're saying when she's waking you up at 11:30 to go walk on the beach. Anyhow, all right, Chris, what's going on?
Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Had some fun at Boomer's expense early on this morning as we circled back to Tuesday when he definitely touched the money regarding the Knicks.
I look at the next stretch of games. They'll be favored in every single one of these games. Every single one of them. And that would put them on a 9-game winning streak if they were able to do that.
So one quarter at a time, guys.
One quarter, right, one 9-game winning streak at a time.
Exactly. Let's go. Let's kick some ass now.
I love that. You
got the bottom feeder list on your schedule.
Well, they started with the bottom feeding Spurs last night in San Antonio, and it didn't go so well.
First career's 30-point game. He's got it. Unbelievable. Sandro Mamukelashvili, 7-for-7 from downtown, and a career-high 32 points.
He was just raining them in.
Yeah, boy!
Yeah, Tyler Murray on MSG. What is that you're doing?
I'm playing Nick defense.
Oh, okay. Just waving a hand in my face.
Yeah, see if I can keep you from reading your script.
You can't. Sandro Mamukelashvili ended up with 34 points.
Don't hit him. Don't hit him.
13 of 14 shooting.
Touch him.
That's what I mean.
In 19 minutes, by the way. First player in NBA history to score 34 in less than 20 minutes as his Spurs pulled away from the Knicks 120 to 105.
Is that AI that comes up with those stats? Like, where do you get that from? The first player in league history.
Yeah.
But that is so like...
ESPN has a sports and information department that pops out.
That's
I don't know
what
came from.
But you have to sift through 100,000 games to come up with that number.
Yeah, I'm sure they do put something in there. They probably put the points in there, the amount of minutes, and they put an algorithm out there and it spits it out.
You could use, like, it's like going to Baseball Reference. If you know how to use it the right way, you can isolate things and figure out obscure stats.
All right, fair enough.
Plus, the team's, you know, PR departments are, I'm sure, in charge of putting that out. And,
well,
like,
they're getting that
media
from
notes.
The same place.
We got our information guys over there at CBS, Coyle and Fiddleman and Ahern and those guys.
Coyle, Fitterman, and Ahern?
Fiddleman.
Ahern. Sounds like a law firm.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're the ones that put together, you know, all the stuff in regards to, you know, the weekly football stat packs.
You want to add that, Eddie?
I was just wondering, do we have the equivalent here at the Fan?
Probably.
No, we don't.
Schwartz.
Just Google it.
Boyle.
Evan.
And, well, that's true. Evan Roberts. Own, that is true.
He did try.
I did see on social media he tried doing the Belichick girlfriend thing
with his
Marash.
Wife? Oh. That must have
with
ended
Marash?
Up.
Correct.
First of all, his feet probably sunk into Marash's ass.
Well, it wouldn't have been his ass.
It would have been his front.
No, it would have been his ass.
I thought she was like...
Well, he did a few different things with her, but in this case, Evan got down on his back, raised his legs.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then Marash sat on his feet,
I thought Belichick's,
and he tried to lift him up. It did not go.
My girlfriend was like a bird.
Maybe Marash would have been a bird had he not been so heavy and he could have lifted him.
Plus, Evan's kind of scrawny. You get that too, you know? Belichick's got a little meat on him, and obviously
his girlfriend was in very good shape.
Like 95 pounds.
Yeah, it's a little easier.
Which is why this was doomed from the beginning.
Evan had it tougher. The Knicks were doomed from the start, pretty much, because their starters, minus Karl-Anthony Towns, were ice cold from the field. They ended up 15 of 46 outside of Cat. Here was explanation from Josh Hart.
Tough schedule. Last couple weeks, going on the road for a week and a half, come back. And that's what TV game to go right into a back-to-back where we lose hours. So we knew it was going to be tough. We just weren't there, you know, physically or mentally with this fatigue.
And it's a back-to-back now because they had to fly from San Antonio to Charlotte late last night, and they will play the Hornets this evening. You've also got the Nets and the Pacers here on the Fan. Coverage at 6:50.
He's laughing at the highlights.
The specific play they just played on CBS Sports.
All right, so Nets and Pacers, and then they'll join Westwood One's NCAA tournament coverage, the evening slate. You got daytime tournament coverage on WFAN AM beginning at noon. And by the way, BT is going to do the show with Sal remotely from Providence. From Providence. I think earlier I said, oh, maybe it's Sal Solo.
Okay. So. Yeah, no, I knew he was because Ryan set him up at a station.
Excellent.
Up there.
So you'll have those guys and then the afternoon show as well. So a busy day ahead as far as sports talk and play-by-play action as well as the tournament gets going in full swing. The Johnnies tonight versus Omaha up in Providence. Tons of tournament experience for Rick Pitino, good and bad. So during his press conference, I guess it was from yesterday, he was asked about the 2011 tournament where his Louisville team got upset by Morehead State 62-61. Turns out he had already referenced that loss in preparing his Johnnies for tonight's game.
I said to my team, whatever you do, don't let them take a three. We'll win it in overtime if they believe we're up two. Don't let them take a three, run them off the line. Sure enough, came down the court, we backed up, not wanting to get beat, gave up a three. So my point to them was about how important it is to make sure you understand time and score and what you have to do.
They will certainly be prepared
and
from a coaching standpoint.
Listen to the goddamn coach when he tells you what to do.
Exactly.
Don't back up.
It is amazing. I always said there's like buzzwords where automatically you just spit something out. Soon as Morehead State comes out of CeeLo's mouth, I think Phil Simms.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's just, he's like the only person. Did anybody else famous play at Morehead State ever?
Probably, but Phil Simms.
But no one
is
like
the guy.
Phil Simms.
Yeah. 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 Are you guys familiar with Neil Shipley?
Screw Phil Simms!
Neil Shipley, the golfer. Yes. He was the low amateur at the Masters and the U.S. Open. He's turned pro now. So
he's the one on Full Swing.
I guess that as well.
Yes.
So, you know, they throw these guys softballs in their press conferences before these tournaments. Oh, hey, it's NCAA tournament this week. Who you got in your bracket or whatever? He gave a pretty in-depth answer, and he's big on data analytics.
Oh, God.
All that.
It's funny enough, in the data analytics program, there's a sports data class. And it was essentially like how to sports bet 101, like how to handicap teams. And so I have knowledge of how to do that. Well, on myself for these March Madness games, which would be pretty interesting. I don't have enough time to probably do that though. So I'll just kind of go off my gut feeling.
So he's really into this. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm going to go off my gut feeling. All right. So what is his gut telling me?
Kind of loving the Big East, St. John's. I think they're a two seed. Love what they've done this year. Turning around that program, a historic program. So I think they could be one of my favorites in my bracket.
So as he gets ready to play today in the Valspar, he's on the Johnnies, which is kind of cool. Also playing in the Valspar,
Andre Chi,
who did the Sports Minute on earlier.
Yes.
He's kind of come out of nowhere. The Monday qualifier, doesn't have much of a background. Played at a D3 school.
Methodist.
Local guy, Methodist. So the audio's it's not great because it's basically someone on a cell phone sitting at a table chatting with him.
Okay.
But after he came off the course Monday and posted his score in some windy conditions, apparently, it looked like he was going to get through to today's Valspar. So here he was talking about his journey.
This is what I dreamed of since I was eight years old. I started playing when I was four, and I was never a standout. You know, junior, I went and played Division III at Methodist University and was under a great program there. And to be a Class A PGA professional and be out there in the field, it's going to be a great honor to represent those guys. And looking forward to it.
So here's a guy in college, again, D3, averaged a 77.
Wow.
And became an assistant pro at Deepdale in New York, which Boomer mentioned. And then he shot 66 in the pre-qualifying event and then a 67 in the heavy winds to get into this tournament.
And he tees off at 10 today, on 10 today, at 9:52 this morning. So in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's a great story for you. No one cares.
Just a kid trying to make his way through life, Al.
Kid with a dream, Al.
Kid with a dream, and you just want to slam the crap out of it.
I knew something was coming.
Yeah. Right. So I wanted to get to some of the actual baseball results from yesterday, but I mean, it's spring training. You know, Yankees and Mets pitchers had themselves a good day, and Alonso hit a home run.
We're a week away now.
Ben Rice hit another. It's amazing. Sunday night at SNY, they asked, well, what do you think, Ben Rice or Dom Smith for DH? I'll go Dom Smith. He's having a nice spring, you know, a little bit more experience. And I think Ben Rice has homered every day since I gave that answer.
Wow, how about
He's
that?
He's been pretty good. But I mentioned I wanted to bring up something from a couple of days ago, obscure.
Yankee related,
so I
right?
missed this. Yeah, I guess this would have been from Tuesday's game.
Okay.
So, you know, Yankees trying some guys out, different combinations at third base. Maybe you get an Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswald Peraza combo of some sort.
Yeah.
So this was new, even for the Yankees. Oswald Peraza came out of, again, I think it was Tuesday's game, according to Aaron Boone, because he had a 3 p.m. eye doctor appointment.
Really?
I mean,
well,
can we not manipulate the eye doctor appointment for the pro athlete? And I get these guys at spring training, maybe they're not playing all nine innings, but it's like,
well,
As maybe we, keep him out of the lineup that day and put him in tomorrow.
This
you know?
Is why Mad Dog went off, because nobody would go on his son's radio show.
They had eye doctor appointments,
but they can't go to a radio show that's actually promoting their product.
Maybe this is a really good doctor, and it took months to get the appointment.
Well, maybe you don't think the Yankees have their own ophthalmologist?
I have no idea what they have in
Tampa. And who knows? Maybe he's having a hard time seeing the ball, and they want to go check and see what's wrong with his eyes.
Maybe that explains why he hasn't hit at the big league level much.
Maybe.
He's a prospect.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. It's just they seem to come up with new stuff, all the time. It sounds almost like a parent going to the main office to sign their kid out early from school because he's got a doctor's appointment.
I've checked a few of these games out and a few of the storylines and everything else. But until next week gets here, and we know who's on the traveling roster, and we know who's...
I love watching it though. It's just the palm trees. I do. I enjoy it. It's. I'll tell you this:
an inning or two, not a full game.
No, when you see the first three or four innings when the regulars are in there, right. But it looks cool. It looks fun. Because, in a couple of weeks, as much as I love it, opening day will be unbelievable. And then you're going to get to that first game on Tuesday afternoon, and there's going to be 17 people there. Right. And as much as I'll watch it, I do agree with Al. It is visually not pleasing. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
These games are fun.
All right. There you go. Jerry likes the spring training baseball.
Yeah.
Very nice. A lot of people into the release of the JFK files.
Oh, yeah.
Brett Favre took to Twitter X yesterday. I don't have enough life to go through 70,000 plus files. Anyone know what really happened? So
it is
crowdsourcing, trying to get to some answers.
Well, Al said that there were some UFO people that were all excited that JFK wanted the UFO files at the time. Is that right?
That is right. But I did try to look more into that, and people are trying to determine if that is in fact a real document. It was not included in the 80,000 pages, which many are claiming it was. This was one other individual at one other time with a Freedom of Information Act request who got this memo, which no one is even sure is real or
right,
not.
So to be clear, you're talking about JFK wanting files, not necessarily something that's in these JFK files. This is something opposite of this.
No, the word yesterday on social media was there was a memo going around that showed JFK asking specifically for UFO files.
Got it.
10 days prior to his being shot.
So they're linking him possibly being shot.
I think
shot
the alien shot him.
Because he was questioning
that's what I think.
Either the CIA or UFOs or God knows who else.
Speaking of the aliens, we'll get to E.T. in a second. Al's got Keith Hernandez among the UFO believers because of the sweatshirt he was wearing over there at American Hotel in, Sag Harbor?
Sag Harbor, yes. Where
he's got the sweatshirt, right? Wasn't T-shirt,
yeah,
sweatshirt?
Hoodie.
Of his late cat, Haji, with the UFO above and the eyes are popping out. And he tweets out the picture and was like, oh, Haji was always afraid of the UFOs.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the E.T. reference, you guys walked in today. Did you not feel like you were walking into the house?
It was
in E.T.
weird.
When they put up all the white, because I don't know what the hell they're doing in the hallway.
There's a lot
that
going
was
on
strange.
Here.
Very
that
strange.
Was strange. A lot of construction in this building. And every couple weeks, they decide to change something.
We've been here since what, 10, 9?
9.
What, 9?
October 9. 9. Sorry, Eddie.
It is amazing how much construction goes on around this specific building. Yeah. Between the building being redone, the entrance being redone, tearing up the street, making the street look nice, 5 years later deciding let's tear it up again and put in a bike lane, then realizing we got to redo the building again, get rid of the bike lane, no more parking out front. Now, the other day, I couldn't find a goddamn spot. I go up to Varick. Varick's closed because let's rip up Varick. It's unbelievable.
It's called infrastructure, Jerry.
Kosciuszko, what the hell is that high? What did we go over?
Kosciuszko Bridge.
That bridge closed for 5 years.
Yes,
oh, you're talking about in Jersey?
The Pulaski.
The Pulaski Skyway.
We had the Kosciuszko.
No joke. 5 years it was closed. Yeah. They reopened it for us and close it the other way.
And the Holland Tunnel.
Outbound.
Been
the Holland Tunnel gets closed. I mean, when does it stop?
It does.
It's called infrastructure, and we do have about 8.5 million people in the tri-state area. So, I mean.
But it only feels like it's here.
Actually, maybe 20 million people if you count, go within, 50 miles?
Remember, Al, when we used to drive in together, we would find a route that was nice. And within a month, there was construction. We had to find a new route. It just doesn't end.
It doesn't.
Well, that initially, when we first started here, it was really great. The parking was great. Everything was great. And then all of a sudden, the post office took over. Remember
that? And that,
all the postal trucks.
I guess 4 to 6 a.m. restrictions don't apply to their post office vans.
No.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. They took all that parking from us.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Tried to get the media license, New York media license plates.
But that's part of being in New York and working or living in New York is just all of the things that you have to, like, navigate around when they're under construction.
That stinks. Right. It's, remember, I tried getting an international.
Hey, they finally got the restaurants out of the streets. Yeah, great. That was a whole nother set of circumstances. And then they got those, you know, those city bike things going all over the place. At least they move them. They don't leave them in one spot for, you know, for 10 years.
Jerry asked, when does it end? My segment needs to end. So let's get to moment of the day.
All right.
As Boomer, little did he know, as it turned out, according to Jerry and Eddie, was wasting good Dunkin' coffee out in the kitchenette today.
Musk would not be into what you just did because you wasted coffee.
You did. You wasted a lot of it. And it was hot. The pot was hot.
Government waste.
Yeah. Right. Coffee waste.
Okay. Well, I like a fresh pot of coffee and a fresh cup of coffee in the morning. I love the smell of fresh coffee in the morning. So to actually do what I did took me 30 seconds. And as opposed to you settling.
What'd you do with the rest of the coffee?
I dumped it out.
So you just wasted,
wasted it.
I see red lights. Dump it in. Yeah, and see, I don't want blue lights.
And that's inefficient.
It is inefficient, and it's wasteful.
I get you, Eddie. I get what you're trying to say to me.
Musk. All right, so...
How many Teslas are you going to vandalize today, you jackass?
I don't think Eddie's the one doing it.
People
he doesn't
like
have a violent bone in his body.
People are idiots.
They are. He's not. I wouldn't lump him in with those people.
All right.
If we'd like to reel it back in...
People like me.
Hey, look, you're the low-life loser. You're the one who started it. I just went to go make coffee.
No!
You started by wasting the coffee.
Yes! And I told him it's exactly what you were going to say when you came back.
It was like a quarter of a cylinder.
And it was hot, and it just ran out.
It's always hot.
No, it's not. That's wrong. That's
incorrect.
It gets warm, and then that's when it's really time for change.
I got a fresh cup of coffee. That's all I know. And I'm very happy about that.
You wouldn't know
the difference. I got mine. Hey.
That's right. And by the way, I took care of everybody else now who's going to go back there and get a new cup of coffee.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. The show within the show. There you go. Moment of the day.
All right, Chris, thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow for a feel-good football Friday.
Football Friday, okay.
Well, it's always a football Friday. Football doesn't end around here, if you haven't noticed.
Can't wait.
Tomorrow, we'll do more quarterback talk tomorrow.
Actually, it's a feel-good college basketball.
Yeah,
I
know.
The UFL starts next week.
Oh, God.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, we got a couple minutes left. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Geo will be back on Monday. So I was telling CeeLo, I will bet St. John's tonight because I think they're really good. I think they're going to just bury Omaha. So on our way out the door, we got St. John's, Omaha coming up probably around 10 p.m. They're a 2 seed. Now, I said I think they'll win by 25 or more. You're very good at this usually, specifically with the football. What do you think St. John's is favored by today?
I would say that they're probably favored by at least 18 points.
Shut up.
No.
Wow, 18 and a half.
That's, oh, really? It's 18
that
and a half?
Unbelievable, yes.
Yeah.
That was really good.
But that's a normal spread. For,
okay, you know, so 18 and a half for St. John's.
That's not doing anything great.
Tennessee is 18 and a half point of favorites over Wofford.
Yes.
What do you think? I'll give you Auburn, Alabama State, and you've got Houston against, I think it's Southern Illinois.
Auburn, Alabama State, maybe 22 to 25.
32.
32, wow.
32 and a half for Auburn. And then what do you think Houston's favored by against SI, 30, whatever they are?
35.
No, actually less, 28 and a half.
Right. Good.
No, I was going to say, my point is I really thought St. John's was going to be at the top with those 1 seeds in terms of being favored. 32 is a monster number.
You know, to me, you know, if one of these teams gets knocked off, you know, today or tomorrow, you know, those are the real crazy aspects of March Madness, but really the great basketball is the Sweet 16 on in.
I completely agree.
And you'd love to have a Cinderella in there, but I don't necessarily know we're going to get one this year. I really don't.
It seems very top heavy to me.
You know, especially the way college basketball is now, where there could be a team that, you know, has kept 4 guys together or 5 guys together for 3 years.
Purdue.
Maybe they can beat a team or something that is significantly rated better than they are, but I just... Man, I mean, Houston, Duke, if totally healthy, Auburn. I mean, these teams, Florida's loaded.
Florida's very good.
And then you got, you know, like Maryland's a really good team. They lost 2 really rough games that they shouldn't have lost. They could have easily been the Big Ten champion both during the regular season and in the tournament, but unfortunately it didn't work out well for them.
So Purdue has Braden Smith, the Big Ten player of the year. He's a junior. They've got Fletcher Lawyer. He's a junior. And when I say these years, they've been all at Purdue. These aren't transfer portal players. Trey Kaufman-Wren, junior. Camden Hyde, sophomore. Trying to think there's one other missing.
But they're a four seed.
Yeah, but they're a four seed that can win the whole thing.
Yes.
They can win the whole thing. And to your point about cohesion and consistency, Matt Painter, wherever he gets the money from, I don't know how it works, but he has kept that core together for literally the last 3 years. And when you watch them, they look like a team that knows where the other is going to be.
Yes.
Now, they're also lost to a 16 seed, I know. But.
Right, and if they get hot, and, you know, it's the great thing about March Madness, it's one game, man. And these are kids. Correct. I don't care whether or not they make money or they don't. They're still kids. And, you know, I think Houston and Auburn are loaded. Florida is loaded. St. John's is intense. Maryland's got the Crab 5. You got the Purdue team that you just talked about. Alabama is good. Tennessee is good.
Imagine a matchup of St. John's and Houston.
Oh.
That game might be 40-39.
Well, either that or it could be like 90-89 because they want to run up and down the court.
The way they defend, though, I don't know about that.
But these teams run up and down the court 100 miles an hour.
I know.
Which is what makes this particular sport and this particular type of basketball so much fun to watch.
Agreed.